discusses it, you know, kind of thing. How could the Gemara say that it comes from tears of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, why all the scientists know that it comes from, you know, plates. He doesn't say plates, but, you know, he starts talking about it. It's very interesting. He starts talking about it.
Who says there was a
Maharal on it? The Gemara and Brachas have discussed it quick. It's a very deep Gemara. That these two tears of Hashem will fall into the yam.
What?
What's that? So he explains it's trying to explain spiritual causes.
Abelius has some pretty powerful tears too.
Who?
So like if they're the vegetation, probably Elias are when you get like up to the hair.
Oh no. Okay.
Saying hi to the Holy Shiva.
Who? Simcha. Okay. We were speaking last time, remember we spoke about Hachnasas Orchim. We were saying, the Gemara writes that Hachnasas Orchim, if you remember, is Godol Meach, Bolas Pnei Shechinu. Now, the Rambam, when he brings down these halachas, so he writes, you know, Paskin, Godol Hachnasas Orchim. Yosem Hakbolas Pnei Shechina, taking in guests, wayfarers, you know, it's greater than taking in Hashem Himself. Do you? And the Rambam writes, and walking with them when they leave is greater than taking them in. Walking them when they leave. That's great. What was your grandfather's name again? You remember?
Yosef Meir.
Yosef Meir.
Avram
Zelig Halevi. Avram Zelig Halevi. Okay. This is, and walking with them when they leave, to be malava them when they leave, the Rambam writes, is greater than taking people in. So he says. Now that already requires hesbir, you know. That walking with people when they leave the mitzvah, there's a mitzvah we know about malava people. And walking with people when they leave is greater than taking them in. So it's questionable, right? Taking them in is something you give them place to. What's the big deal about walking with them when they go? Now, the source of this mitzvah is the Gemara in Sota on Egla Rufa.
Hmm.
So you know all about Egla Rufa, right? What's that? Yeah. Did we speak about it, Mike? I don't think we spoke about it here. Egla Rufa. So the Gemara says that, you know, it says in the Chumash, Pasha Shofti, you find a dead man lying in the field, right? Lo yodea mihi kohu, murdered. Nobody knows, you know, how he died. So what you do is that you go to the close city closest to this murdered man. You measure, you know, to the closest city. And the elders of that city, they have to come out and they take with them egel, calf. They go to a barren valley, right? And then they slaughter the calf there, and they wash their hands in that barren place, and they say, "Yadenu lo shofku es adam hazeh ve'einenu lo ro." Our hands didn't spill this blood, and our eyes didn't see. So it says. Now the Gemara asks. Did we ever need to think that the Zakenim of this city are going to be murderers? What do you mean our hands didn't spill his blood? What kind of thing is this? The murderers? Ella, what they're really saying is the following. Lo boli yadenu upatrinuhu. He didn't come to our hands v'patrinuhu, and we said goodbye to him without taking him in, below Mazonos, without giving anything to eat. He didn't come to our house, and we didn't get rid of him without taking him in. Volareinu pachanu below Levaya, and we didn't see him and say goodbye to him without leaving him. Notice they're saying that this dead person, he never came to our house and left without being accompanied. And after they say this statement, the Kohanim say, Kofer, Kofer, yeah, La'amukho Yisrael, Shepodiso Hashem, Yechaper Lehem. They should get an atonement for such a thing. Now we see from here, from the Gemara, Gemara is saying that had a person come to the house, you know, and left, even if you took him in, but he left and you didn't walk with him when he left the house, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of being malava, a guest, and then the guy gets murdered, so it would have been considered their fault, their responsibility, right? As if they were responsible for his dying, and they need a kapara. That's what we see from the Gemara. Had you walked with this man, who's to say that he would have been killed? So it's their fault. Mitzvah malava, kuach nefesh. You know. Now, there are a few different ways of learning this pshat. Why? I mean, it doesn't mean they walk with the whole way. I mean, I don't have to walk with them. The truth is, you know, it's a short way. So why are you considered responsible? Some say that this mitzvah of chesed that we're discussing, that the simplest idea is that the mitzvah of doing malava someone is to give them proper directions. Somebody comes to your house, so, you know, they're trying to get somewhere, and when they leave, you show them the way. These people don't know the roads. And if you don't show them the way properly, and then they get lost and they wander into a bad neighborhood or some Arab village, you know.
Oh, man.
And it's because of you. So then it's your problem. How come, you know, you don't just say go left, you go right, left, right, left, right, turn, take a right and go. You walk with them and make sure they're on the right street, you know. That's the mitzvah. Make sure they're on the way, on the right prize. Sometimes people come to our house on Shabbos, you know, and then they're continuing on, you know, to the Kosa. So I ask them, how are they going, you know? So, you know, they don't exactly know how to go, right? And if they start walking, you start sending them through Shar Shechem or something like that. And they get hurt. I mean, wow. You know, show them how to go. A couple of years ago, at the school, 2 years ago at the school, actually, the girls, so they had these two girls who were on Shabbos. They were walking, they were trying to walk from the Shar Yafa to the Novotel. You know what those Novotel is?
Yeah.
So they happened to be, they asked, I think, a policeman, somebody there in Shar Yafa, like, how do I get to this hotel? So he says, oh, it's no problem. You go, you know, to the end of the wall, right? And, you know, take a ride at the end of the wall, you know, around the old city. Take a ride at the string there. And then walk and follow the road and you'll get right there. So the girls, these girls, you know, they were thinking that, you know, you follow the two bus line, right? You know, that main street, and just follow the main street, and then you come up it, right there. Yeah, only these girls didn't exactly understand what he meant when he said, follow the main street and you'll get there. And they walked straight, right, instead of going up.
Oh, my goodness.
So they walked right past Shar Shechem, you know, and started being mistoved. And then they realized they were a bit lost. They didn't know what to do, so they started taking a left somewhere, and they ended up wandering in the middle of the streets of East Jerusalem, and the Arabs, these two girls. And then a crowd of Arabs, guys, sees these two lost girls, and they start pushing them and surrounding them, and who knows what was going to happen to them, and, you know, mistreating them. And, you know, they thought their lives were in danger, and they were. Who knows what was going to happen, right? And in the middle of it, on Shabbos, an Arab drives up and says, get in.
No,
an Arab guy. So the girls were so petrified on Shabbos they jumped into his car, right? And the Arab drove them to a Jewish neighborhood and left them off and saved their
wow.
lives. This is true story. Yeah, but you know, a guy mama saved them. But you know, and they had to bench Gomel.
How come they trusted him?
What
if he wanted to rape them?
Because they're stupid. They didn't. What are they going to do?
Exactly.
They weren't acting with brains. They were just so petrified. They were lucky the guy didn't kill them completely. Who knows? You jump into an Arab car,
right, exactly.
Or, you know, driver. They didn't know what. It was just lucky. It was just Haste Hashem. It was probably Elio and Navi, this guy. You know what I'm saying?
Seriously.
So
you take your chances. You get 10 guys surrounding you or one.
Right. I mean, you jump into the car. You don't ask questions. I mean, if they stay there, they're certainly not going to get out. You know, what you're going to say. So, but in truth, you know, so that's the simple pshat. I mean, you know, the shoter, this person, you give him proper directions, you make sure your people are on the right row, and you accompany them and allow them. If you don't do a good job, and that's what happens, it's considered to be your responsibility. I mean, how could you have just let them go? Take achrayus for people when they come and make sure that they're going all the way through. So that's the simple pshat. Only the Gemara says that we have to go a little bit more deeply into this. So the Gemara writes that, you know, halachically speaking, you can be yotze this mitzvah if you walk Dalet Amos with someone. You don't have to walk all the way. You don't have to walk all the way to the road with them. And so people ask, what's the pshat here on walking out even Dalet Amos? I mean, what is the Dalet Amos doing here? You know, why is it enough? So there's a second reason what we write about this mitzvah being malavi people. But then, second thing they say is that we see from this mitzvah the importance of making ksharim with people and the danger of a person being alone in this world. You should never let a person be alone in Olam Hazeh. You know, a person who's alone, Maharal writes here, it's a person who's alone, he has no connection to human beings, to civilization, you know. So he's in a situation of danger. And you can save him by connecting to him. And I'll tell you again, the simple pshat is there are a few different levels here in understanding. But the simple level is that when a person is alone, yeah, traveling, so you know, especially you don't know anybody, you know, people, tzaddikim used to go into exile for a kapara, you know, there are all sorts of Vilna Gaon spent a few years wandering around. And the reason why exile is a kapara is because it breaks the ego. You know, nobody knows you. It's like that if you go traveling and you're by yourself, especially if you're a person who's well known. You know, nobody knows you. Nobody cares who you are. You don't have any connection with anybody anymore. It sort of breaks a person. It isn't simple to be alone for a long period of time. Go ahead.
I've been here for a short time. We went to LA because his son was getting married there. So the day of the wedding, some people I know here said that they'll be making that to Tachlin the day of the wedding.
Yeah.
So they went over to the Gabbai, I guess they're going to start to Shasta, and maybe we'll say Tachlin because, you know, my son's getting married. And they're yelling in the middle of the shul in LA, and he doesn't live in LA, so yelling, who do you think you are? He's coming here, and you can tell us what to do, and tell us what we're not going to keep him.
That's Gullus, yeah. I always think about the Ramban, you know. The Ramban who was, you know, the most famous person in Spain, right? He had you know, the Gadol Hador, the Rosh Yeshiva of thousands of Talmidim, you know, knew people who were, you know, close to the king. He was one of the most powerful, important people in Spain, Ramban. And then in his, you know, whatever, late 70s, he decided to come on his own to Eretz Yisrael. You know, and he came to Eretz Yisrael, right? And he walked in like nobody in the world knows who he is. And he went to Akko, right? And it was in the middle of this war with the Crusaders.
Oh my
and,
goodness!
And it was the Crusaders with the Arabs oh were fighting. Gosh. People were, you know, killed over. And he decides there was one little yeshiva there. He walks in. You know, nobody knows who he is. There was a rabbi from France who knew who he was, and he gave him cover. Then he decided he wanted to go to Yerushalayim. So he just said, yeah, in those days, you know, it was Kanas Nefarshis to get to Yerushalayim in those days with Akko. You know, so because of all the fighting and all the Arabs and the Crusaders and the rest. So he got to Yerushalayim. When the Ramban got to Yerushalayim, there were two Jews living in Yerushalayim. That was all that was left in the whole city because, first of all, the Mongolians had come, the Mongol hordes, you know, Genghis Khan, you know.
But Genghis Khan came to Israel?
Yeah, they destroyed.
The Mongolians were here?
Yeah, they came here. They destroyed three quarters of the country.
Right? Before the Ramban,
right? Yeah. Before the Ramban came. So he got here, and in Yerushalayim, listen to this, there were two Jews left in Yerushalayim. One was a tanner and one was a dyer, the two brothers. They were the only two Jews left in Yerushalayim. And the Ramban comes in, you know, and he's looking around and he meets them. Hey, you can come and stay with us, right? And the Ramban is sitting by himself with these two Jews in Yerushalayim. Nobody's there, and he decides to try to make a shul and try to rebuild the Jewish presence in Yerushalayim.
Wow.
Here's this Gadol Hador, you know, by himself. And even nobody knew who he was, these two Jews as well. And he's going around, and then he tries to get a minyan going. He's doubt. There's no minyan. There's nobody learning. You know, he finally sets up a shul. And they clean out an old shul that was destroyed, and they start getting together, and then they try to get a few Jews to come and daven with them and come and learn. And he set up a yeshiva, and that
wow.
was like the beginning of the modern presence. Since then, there have been Jewish presence.
Wow.
They haven't in the old city. But I always think of the Ramban, you know, this what it was like. You know, you go into exile, nobody knows you, nobody knows who he is. Islam doesn't have a minion. Then people, you know, here's the Gadol Hador, nobody even to speak to. It's incredible to think of the years that Ramban spent in Yerushalayim by himself in the 70s. Gave up all. So he writes about it. He writes about it. He wrote a letter home and he said, you know, how I've given up all recognition, you know, given up all of the people who recognized who I am, the people who appreciated me. People, they're all gone over here. He says, it was worthwhile for me to give up everything, nola mazeh, in order to have, you know, to be here in Yerushalayim. So he wrote this beautiful letter home. But anyway, when you're walking,
his family never came.
No, he died here about three. He died here about 3 years later, or something like that. It's a happy shul was set up. I think they know where it is. But that was it. Can you imagine two Jews in Yerushalayim, and the Ramban, you know, trying to build a Jewish presence around.
What year was it?
The Ramban lived in the 1200s, early 1200s. That's what he writes. He wrote a famous letter. He says, "I came to Eretz Yisrael." Right, and the whole place is destroyed. We call her Kadosh Yoter, Chorev Yoter. It says the holier the place, the more the greater the destruction. So
really?
I mean, the whole thing was destroyed. There were the years of fighting between the Christians and the Arabs as well. Anyway, wow. So what we see, anyway, when a person is by themselves and they travel, you know, you're alone. And not everybody is as great as the Ramban. A lot of times when people travel, you start getting depressed when you're alone, right? You don't have any charm to people you're going through. And a person like that, as I say, he's walking by himself. So, you know, a person who starts getting depressed, so he becomes like a sitting duck for robbers and thieves. You know, anybody who's lived in New York knows this. You know, people who are depressed, you start walking around, they become prey. You know, they prey. There are all sorts of people who wander the streets, like looking for people to sort of take advantage of and try to steal things from. And, you know, they're all over. And they have a sixth sense for weakness. And they can tell by how a person walks and how a person's going down the street. You know, no one's going to go near this guy, right? You know, why should they bother? I mean, you know, if a person's like, slugging around, you know, drowning his legs, all of a sudden they zoom in on him, you know, that's what happens. So they force him right like this. They say, you know, this guy came to your house, right? And then he came to your house. So what did you do? I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of chesed. He comes to my house, I give him a bed, and I give him something to eat, you know, and then he looks goodbye and he's out, right? And then he goes and gets killed, right? So they come back and said, you know, why didn't you go with him? Which means giving with him is a symbol that, you know, the mitzvah of chesed, and this is true of many of the mitzvahs of chesed, it's not just a mitzvah to, well, give a guy something to eat. The mitzvah of chesed is to make shorim with people. It's to be makasha yourself with the person. That when he came, you know, you form a bond with him. You became a yedid nefesh. It's the mitzvah. And if that's what being malava with him means. Malava means that you didn't just come and go, but like, I'm sort of going with you, you know. I'm thinking about you. I'm not letting you go on your own. And the Gemara says that, you know, how could you leave a person be alone? How could he come to your house and not make a kesher with him? Why, had you made a kesher with this person, he would have felt that he wasn't so alone in the world. And, you know, it's terrible to feel you're alone in the world. This moment, the truth is that it's almost impossible to live like that. A person who feels that they're alone in the world, just feel like going away and dying. I mean, David HaMelech writes about it. I'm alone, I've lost the sight that I believe that I exist. A person needs, all of us, many of the reasons why we continue to exist is because we feel that somewhere in the world there's someone who cares about us. That's what allows us to continue to exist in this world. We all have someone, family. We don't have any concept of what it would mean to be like people who, like in the Holocaust, who survived, they had nobody left, nobody knows who they were. It's almost impossible to live like that. The pain of the isolation is kind of impossible. They're saying, a person alone, how could you leave a person alone like that? You know, you could, by making a kesher to a person, you could change a person's life. You could, you know, at least you walk with him. It's a sign that, you know, I'm still thinking about you after you leave. We've made a kesher, you know, you're not alone. Ah. So then the person goes, and that has the ability to actually change his whole circumstance. And that's the claim that you have. And how could you not have just let him go without making a kesher? What's that?
A couple weeks ago, Rabbi Tabor had a Shabbaton, and he said that there was tells the story. This guy was on drugs. He was he's in rehab, trying to stop taking drugs. So the reporter says, this guy who was on drugs is like, no, I have an idea. Instead of you complaining about your life, you know, you're complaining about things so bad for you, why don't you just like come in the car and come in the car with me, and we'll start from scratch. You know, yeah. Start from scratch. He's like, I can't do that. It's too hard for me. You know, I can't do it. I can't change. It's just too much. I can't handle it. So Rav Tauber said, you know, it's a rachmanis because if people are really upset and really in pain or whatever it is, you're not going to change. You know, you don't want to change for the better. It's like, then what are you complaining about? Then just suffer then. You know, you're not going to want to change. Then don't complain then. Just live like how you are then. Don't, you're not really willing to make your life better then.
And it's basically. Yeah, so what is the point you're making?
No, so I was saying that people who are constantly struggling for a better life, but they don't want to change though. So they'd rather just like...
Yeah, but if you make a kesher with them, then you're able to give them that strength to actually
some
change.
Some people just don't want to change.
There's no such thing as somebody who doesn't want to change. Person who says they don't want
to change,
they're afraid
to change.
They have all sorts of, there are many, many reasons why people don't want to change. They have to give up, they have to hold, they're afraid. They think, if you make a kesher with the person, instead of saying change, you know, but rather than that, you make a kesher with them and you show them that you're there with them and all the difficulties, you understand them, then they'll find the inner power to change and go further. It's the same idea though, you have to make a kesher. Somebody said, I read a story once about a person I was thinking about when I read this Gemara. Read a story about a man. A guy wrote this. I remember where I read this years ago. This was an article. A guy told his own personal story. He said he was a person who had a difficult life. His wife died, and he was left alone with two kids who he had to bring up. And the two kids that he was that he had to bring up, so they didn't do so well. You know, one of them, they started getting into trouble when they hit adolescence. It's, you know, most of them are in their bad time, and they started getting into drugs and all sorts of other things. And they had, you know, they're pretty wild. And this guy, you know, he was left alone. He had problems, his own problems with the job. And then he has two kids who are, you know, off the wall, as they say, you know. And he said one night he remembered he went into some sort of meeting, a PTA meeting or something in a house. And there were a whole bunch of people there. And everybody at the group was telling him what his kids were doing. And they were all saying, you know, maybe you need a social worker to help take care of the kids. Or what do you get? You know, everybody was sort of, you know, pretty getting down. I mean, in general, when your problem is with the kids, you know, people look at you like some sort of pariah. You know? You walk in and they, I bet, you know, you must be a horrible person to produce such children like that. You know, people are not so, then they start giving you aces about what you should do with them, you know. Maybe you should, you know, take care of, you know, get your own help in them. So the guy comes and he goes to this sort of devastating meeting. And he leaves and he's looking at him, aces, and he walks along, and, you know, he has his eyes, and he said he walked around, he wrote about himself that he walked outside. As he was walking outside, he felt like, you know, he didn't have the kach to go on. He was going to forget. And then after he was about to get into his car, so there was one guy who was there at the meeting who followed him out. And after he followed him out, just as he got into his car, he came up to him and, you know, put his hand on his shoulder, and he said to him, "It's pretty tough, isn't it?" So the guy looked up to him, and he said, "Yeah." He said, "It's pretty tough, you know." Then he got in his car and he drove off. So he wrote at the end of the article, he goes, "I'm writing this article to tell you that that guy saved my life." He said, "I never would." He gave me the strength to continue. That one guy followed me out and said, you know, he made a kesher and said, you know, "It's pretty tough." Because you have no idea what he did to me, that person. You know. So I'm writing the article to let people know. And it struck me, that's the Indian of being Malave. You know, you can make a difference in a person. You make a kesher with a person in life. Yeah, you make a difference. You poel. You know, you let people go. People think doing chesed mitzvah is, well, I'll give them a piece of food, you know, and then they're gone. That's not a mitzvah chesed. Ikar mitzvah chesed is making ksharim with people. And that's one of the main needs that human beings have. You can turn around a person like them. And therefore, how could you let the person go without being malavi him? You know, follow him out, you know. Be with him. That's the ikar of the mitzvah. It's greater than taking him in, is walking with him when he leaves. Because taking him in is just for the day, but now we're together. Now there's a deeper shot that the Mefarshim talk about it as well, about what's the power of walking out with the person. And they write that in truth, a person can, through making a kesher with another person, you can change the entire hashgacha of Kadosh Baruch Hu with that person. You have no idea of the power that can come from making a kesher, ksharim with another person. Mefarshim said, there's a Gemara in Brachas that talks about two people who go into a shul to daven. You probably learned it, right? You're learning Brachas, didn't you? Weren't learning Brachas, you were. So the Gemara says two people go, they used to have the shul in the fields. So they had a shul in the fields. And they used to work in the fields all day. Then they used to daven a light mincha and early maariv, really before dark. And then they'd go back. So it used to be. And that's how they used to work. And the Gemara tells a story about two people walking toward one of these shuls in the fields at night. And they didn't daven Maariv. And the two of them are friends, you know. And they start davening Shmon Esrei. And one of them finishes Shmon Esrei before the other. So he finishes Shmon Esrei before the other guy. And, you know, he looks at his watch and he's a bit hungry. And he says, you know, and one guy is still davening Shmon Esrei, you know. I got to get out of here. And so he leaves the guy alone and goes home, right. The guy's alone davening in the shul in the field at night. So the Gemara says, yeah, that as soon as this person walks out the door, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes his tefillas and he throws them down. Right? Says, Torah nafsho biapo halamandukha tazavoretz. Torah nafsho biapo. Kadosh Baruch Hu tears away from him his nefesh. And Rashi writes, his nefesh is his tefillas. That's the nefesh of the person that he put in. Tears them away. Do you know that because of you, the Shekhinah has abandoned the world? You left the person alone. This is what I write. Mm-hmm. Now, the sibuf shot in the Gemara is that this guy, when you left him alone, yeah, he ruined his tefillah. Because, you know, he's scared, you know, when you're downing Shemon Esrei, you're a sitting duck, you know what I mean? You're down, you know, you never know who's there, you know, behind you, and you can't protect yourself, and, you know, what do you do? So this guy leaves and he's alone. So what are you going to do? He can't daven anymore. All of a sudden he gets afraid. He has to rush. He loses his mebalbel, calls his kavana. The Shekhinah leaves him because of that. As a result of that, mida keneged mida, you lose your tefillah because you caused him, you destroyed this person's tefillah, and you caused the Shekhinah to be leave the world, boy, destroying his tefillah as well. That's a simple shot.
You have to go somewhere.
Yeah, no, so the guy says like this. You have to know what the reason is, I'm saying. If you have a reason, or if the guy's being marich and Shemon Esrei, so you can go. But, you know, it's time you should try to stay. That's the halacha, by the way. We paskan like this. That if you're even in the city, in New York, or wherever you are, and your person is, and you're two people alone at night, you should wait for them to finish before they go. I remember, who was it? Well, Shiva told me once. He was always machbid on that. But he wouldn't leave until the last person had finished Shemon Esrei. If a guy is marrying for 30 minutes, that's not your problem, really. But it's not interesting. It's a halacha l'maaseh. Anyway,
you
shouldn't leave a person alone in a shul by himself. Exactly. You should stay around until he finishes. As long as he's, you know, not davening 30 minutes Shemon Esrei, you know, he's a normal thing.
Like Rabbi Heber told a story. I guess it was in yeshiva that. I'm not sure if it's an in or an out yeshiva, but he came late. He was looking forward just to like sit home and relax and just, you know, just go. It really sounds so hectic. So all of a sudden he's there. He's slowly stopping. Everyone leaves except for one guy with his child, and they're wondering why, you know, why you, you know, son asked why aren't we going home? You know, who's waiting for us? It's like, well, you know, there's a block of not to leave, and then we can invite him for dinner. He's like, no, he just didn't want to go because he's so busy right now.
Yeah.
And then I mean, he finally ended up going, but he made like some type of a
kesher to
this guy for like
something. Anyway, but the Ben Yishchai learns like this. It says the Ben Yishchai, he says sort of a deeper pshat on this. What's the pshat? He loses his tefillah. So the Ben Yishchai says like this. These two guys are coming into Danis. Now he says these people are yedidei nefesh. You know, they're very good friends. And he says that you should know that when two people connect, you know, bonds of ava, you know, between each other. So when they do that, so you're not just connected in olam hazeh, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you make yourself one with another person, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at you as if you're one also. The Tzad HaTov, he says, and he gives an example. For example, you have Reuven and Shimon, you know. And Reuven is this tremendous masmid, you know. He's great in learning Torah. But when it comes to doing chesed, I mean, forget it. Like, you'll never get this guy to go help somebody else, you know. He can't tear himself out from his books, you know. Just, you know, he sort of davens that somebody else should be talking. All right, but he's a very big master. Shimon is incredible about doing chesed. He'll run to the other side of the world for another human being, yeah. But ask him to sit and learn for an hour in Beis Medrash, I mean, forget it. He can't sit. I mean, there's no way. Right. The two of them are Mila. So he says, then the two people become friends. So now, yeah, because they become friends in a deep way, so each one gets the milas and the schus of the other. And they become almost like with one person who's great in Torah and great in chesed as well. So he says the following, Ben Yishchai writes, and these two people start davening. And as they start davening, so since they were machaber themselves, their tefillahs now, each one gets the schus of the other. The tefillahs have a lot of koach and power. They're traveling higher, you know, and higher. And all of a sudden, this guy in the middle stops. You know, I gotta get out of here. What do I care about this guy? Goodbye, I'm leaving. You know, and he walks out. He cuts off his bonds with the other person. So Kodesh Baruch Hu looks, you cut yourself off from that person? I also cut yourself off from the person. What happens down here happens above as well. And now he loses all of his schusim, and his tefillahs just fall back down to the earth. He says, do you know that because you cut yourself off from that person, you lost all of the koach of your tefillahs? If you were machaber yourself to him, you'd have all the different schusim all the way through. He says, so the Ben Ish-Chai writes, you have no idea the power of what happens when you machaber yourself. When I read this Ben Ish-Chai, it explained to me something that I always wondered about. You know, the Arizal writes, and we have it in Siddurim, that before you daven, you should mekabel upon yourself, v'yahavti re'echa kamocha. Right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Before you daven every Shemoneh Esrei, you should mekabel, v'yahavti re'echa. It's always to bother me, what's the kesher between v'yahavti re'echa kamocha and tefillah? You know? Then, I said one day, that's a stupid question. What's the kesher? I said, that's the whole concept of tefillah, that as much as you care, that's as much as you can daven, right? You don't care about other people, so how could you daven? Tefillah itself is an act of caring. So good, I answered it for a while. But then when I read this Ben Ish-Chai, I understood much more deeply, who understands what the Rizal's kavanas are? You know what he's saying? I mean, you go on for 30 years, you know, you'll never come close to what he's actually thinking. But when this Ben Ish-Chai had another pshat of this Rizal, and the pshat is the following, that if a person, before he davens, he thinks, you know, he's makashu himself and ahava with all of Am Yisrael. So now, he has the schus of all of Am Yisrael behind him. You know, a person who thinks that I'm part of Am Yisrael, I'm going to do tov, I want tov for every Jew. Right? So as a result now, he has behind him, you know, the power of the Chafetz Chaim, and the Vilna Gaon, all of Klal Yisrael he's part of, and all of the Jews that are here. And as a result, when they're makasha like that, so you have no idea, yeah, what's going to happen to your tefillahs? It's a different concept. It's a different idea altogether. It's the power of what it means to be makasha yourself towards another human being. And so the Mefarshim right over here with being malava someone as well, they say something interesting. They write that you have this guy over here. Now this guy, so he comes over to your house. And then he's leaving, he's walking out. Now we don't know what the din is on this person. It could very well be that he has certain averas. It could very well be that Kodesh Baruch was treating him with midas hadin. We don't know what's happening. He goes and he leaves on his own, and he gets killed. It's not stam, he gets killed through whatever. For some reason or other, Kodesh Baruch doesn't say. But the Gemara is saying, you know, if you had been mekasha yourself to that person, yeah, when he goes, yeah, and you had thought in your mind that you're going to be with him, you're not going to, you know, you should know, yeah, that person that may never have died. Because you could have given him a whole different hashkocha in life because you would mechaber yourself to him. Had you cared about him and made yourself one with him and been thinking about him, so you don't have this din on you. Kodesh Baruch Hu is dealing with you with chesed, right? And since you're one with him now and you have your schuyot as well, so as a result, your schuyot can protect him. And Kodesh Baruch Hu will deal with him more chesed because he deals with you with chesed, and he's part of your arm now over here. You know, you're all connected. So you can literally change merely by thinking about another person and not being Mesiach Das with them. Thinking, well, what? I'm going to be Mechav with them. I'm not going to forget that person. You can literally uplift them and help them and affect everything that happens to them from the power of just joining together with them and thinking about them. It's not a posh thing, what it means to be Mechav with other people. What's that?
And what's her story also? There's a very big rug, dabbing with Musaf, younger, and he's on for Yamid. And people notice that he's like dabbing a very long time. So all of a sudden, someone's like saying, "No, I can't take this anymore. I really have to go. It's like I can't, you know, it's too long." So after that, I think the rub turned like really white, and then he said, "Yes, the rub, you know, what takes so long?" He said, "You know, I was so, I was like davening to Hashem. We were like all together, like climbing like a human ladder to this tree to find this beautiful bird. This close to touching it, and Mashiach would come this close." And someone said, "I don't have patience for this. Then how can this fell apart?"
So anyway, that's what they say. So they say that we have no idea, you know, we don't begin to grasp the power of what it means to form connections with other people and how you can affect, you can sit different. So that's a Dalai Lama. You know, I'm not forgetting you when you're leaving. You know, still keeping a kesher. going to be there, and so it is, you can forget. You could help people in that way. And so they write, you know, and the Maharsha says even a deep shadow, and the Maharsha writes, I don't know, this is really sort of getting a little bit mystical, but he writes that, you know, when you see with Yaakov Avinu, that you have Malachim that accompany people, the Malachim people, you know, he sees Machanaim, right? He comes down, one angel get up, one angel go down, and they walk along with the person. So he says that each person has Malachim that go along and mechaber themselves to the person and they take care of them. That's a certain concept of Hashgacha. So Maharsha says that when you're mekayim the mitzvah of being malavi person and he's going and you're walking it out and you walk out even Dalai Lama's, but you say, you know, I'm not going to be Messiah Das from you even though you're going. So as a result, you actually can send along with him the Malachim that normally would go with you. Yeah. That's what he writes. You walk out Dalai Lama's, not being Messiah Das, you know, he's going. Send them out with them. And those Malachim now are machaber themselves to the person and they show Miralei. It's not so partial. You love the person when they go on a journey, you walk with them. Send them out. But that's the power, as we said. I always remember this. And this is what they say when they write, you know, as you were saying, you're saying then about, you know, Yaakov Avinu, this, and Yosef, that we know we just had a few parshas ago, right? Yosef comes back. And they tell him, brothers, tell Yaakov that Yosef's alive and he's Melech. Yosef alive, he's Melech, and Mitzrayim. No, he doesn't believe it, right? He doesn't believe him. Until he looks at the Agolos, right? And then he sees the Agolos. Ah! It's really Yosef alive. So everybody's bothered by what did he see in these wagons, you know, that made him come alive. For him answer, that Yosef was saying a hint to him. But the last thing that Yaakov learned with Yosef before he sent him off was this mitzvah of Egel Arufa. Right? And therefore he was coming and sending him a hint that was him. That look, it's me. What was the last thing we learned? Egel Arufa, Agolos. You hear it? Agolos. Egel Arufa, Agolos. You got it? And Yaakov looks and all he sees and then he caught the remez. Ah, it's here, Baruch Hashem. But the more force you write, that's the Poshib Shah. Push him right that the real shot, you know, deeper shot is like this, that Yaakov Avinu, when he heard that Yosef was alive, he believed that Yosef was alive, Melech Mitzrayim. But he felt, you know, what's going to be left of Yosef? It's bad enough, you know, going as a kid into Mitzrayim, it was the immoral place in the world. But after being a Melech, you know, we think he would have been thrilled. Ah, my son made it to the top, Baruch Hashem, you know, he's a Melech. You know, it's like a... I met a Jewish couple once and they said they wanted their daughter to be a movie star, you know? So I said, you know, what Jewish parent would ever want your daughter to be a movie star? You know, it's like the worst possible thing. Like, a movie star? You're a movie star? Who wants such a thing? And power corrupts, you know, when he hears that Yosef is in, you know, in Mitzrayim, right, Melech. So, you know, what, you know, power corrupts, you know, absolute power corrupts, absolutely, you know. What's the Havmina over here that he's going to be able to be Yosef at Tzaddik, you know? What are we going to say about him? And then, when he goes out, you know, so he didn't respond. But then when he hears that Yosef's sending him these agolos, he's saying something else. He goes, Yaakov, you should know. What was he saying to his father? What was the last thing we learned? This mitzvah of Agolos, Egla Rufa, which is the mitzvah of being Malavi people. And you know that Yaakov Avinu was never Messiah Das from Yosef the entire time he was in Mitzrayim. Never.
Wow.
He never forgot him the entire time. He always mourned over him. He was always thinking about him. And why? Because unfortunately, because he wasn't really dead, right? And since he wasn't really dead, so Yaakov wasn't able to forget him. And the entire time he was mourning, he was there. You know, he couldn't forget him. And that's the, you know, and the power of that. Yeah, how in the end was Yosef saved? Right. Well, how was Yosef saved? Yosef was saved. You know, he wanted to go in with Ashes Potiphar. And it was it. You know, he figured he was going home, and you know, she had been there trying to get him for already who knows how many months. Right? And he reached a point where he was finished, and he decided that he was going in. He was going to be with her. Too much. I can't take it anymore. You know? And he's walking in, and he's about to go into the house, and all of a sudden he sees the face of Yaakov, his father, staring at him. I fair, you know. How big is the thing? And he remembers, turns around and runs, you know what I mean? He's gone, you know, he got away from the clutches of Ishus Bunky, the bear, you know. But, you know, the pshat is, why did he have this vision of his father before his eyes? Pshat is because his father never stopped being Masiach Das. That he was malavi him the entire way. And that's the power of being malavi with someone. He made a kesher, wasn't Masiach Das, and there his son is in Mitzrayim, and there he sees his father. When you walk with a person and you make a kesher, you malavi them, you could change them. I always remember this, because once, I remember I was here learning in Eretz Yisrael, and before I was married, and I had to go back to America, and I remember, I was waiting for the Nesher to come, you know, and it was like 6 o'clock in the morning, or 5:30 in the morning, you know, and of course the Nesher was late, and I was feeling, you know, a bit down. I didn't know where I was going to go, I didn't know whether I was going to go back to Yeshiva, I didn't know exactly what was going to happen to me going back to America. And I was going by myself, you know, and I, you know, the friends that I had in yeshiva, they were all asleep, like nobody walked me out, you know, you're there for a couple of years, so you don't feel so good, and you're sort of leaving on your own, you know, I don't blame them, everybody's tired, you know, they're probably into their learning, you know, but whatever, so I'm sort of ready to get into the cab, you know, feeling good. And then all of a sudden the cab drives up, and I better put poop bags in, and I see the door of the yeshiva, you know, flings open, and I see the Rosh Yeshiva come, you know, running down the stairs, you know, at 5:30 in the morning or whatever. He sees me going, he says, Rav Ram, you know, he had a letter. He says, here, you can take this letter from me as well. You know, I know he didn't, you know, it was, he could have had a lot of people sending letters. There was a bank. And he comes down, you know, and he's kind of, it's my lap. And before I'm getting fed, he grabs my hand, you know. He says, you should have a good trip. You should be hatzliach. Zay gezutzen stark. You know, and he holds me, and he comes over and gives me a kiss. You know what I mean? And he sent me off, right? And he walked, you know, malaving me down, you know, going through. And I remember, you know, after that point, the whole time that I was away, that mitzvah of being malaving, that almost changed my entire experience of this life. That wherever I went, you know, after that, you know, I kept on, you know, seeing the, you know, the kiss of my Rosh Yeshiva, you know, like, thinking, you know, should I do that? You ever start getting into trouble, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, Rosh Yeshiva's face would appear in front of me, shaking my hand, you know, Zagas, and just, you go. But that's a Bemis. That's the concept of being Malava someone. You don't realize the power of what it means to Makash yourself to another human being. You have no idea how much you could help them, and how you change the Hashkacha, and how you change them emotionally, and, you know, you go with them, and what happens. And that's one of the, that's one of the main obligations of Chesed, right? One of the main obligations of Chesed is actually to make those ksharim into, as I say, not just do actions, but to form bonds, you know, of Ava. And that's really what Am Yisrael is all about, as we're saying, that the concept of after the kamocha, that we're able to make those bonds, and to the degree that we're able to actually do that, that's the amount of degree of ruchnius that's able to dwell in Am Yisrael. The Gaon writes, when he talks about Shema Yisrael, so the Gaon is a pshat, you know, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So the Vilna Gaon writes in Deres Eliyahu, Shema Yisrael, says, what are you supposed to think when you say Shema Yisrael? So you're supposed to be mechaber yourself, be machshava to all of Klal Yisrael, Shema Yisrael. Then he writes, that's the concept Shema. When you say Shema, you're supposed to be mechaber yourself to all of Yisrael. I'm one with all of Yisrael. Yeah. Thought. He says, and then Hashem Elokeinu. So he writes that the degree of ruchnius, the degree of revelation, yeah, that Hashem will give to the Jewish people, is dependent on the quality of the relationships between Am Yisrael. He says, a person whose Am Yisrael is mechaber, they join yidide nefesh together, that enables the Kodesh Baruch Hu to now reveal himself on them. If you just have individuals, then it's not possible. So, in other words, The more ben adam lechaveru you have, the more bonds of av you have ben adam lechaveru, the more that a Kodesh Baruch Hu ben adam lemakom you'll grow. And they're connected. Wow. The yeshiva, for example, the degree that people will get out of the learning is connected with the degree of ksharim between the people who are there. If people form friendships and the makasha, you know, so then as a result of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is free now to pour ruchnius into the whole place, right? If people don't get along and they don't make that yidide nefesh type of connection, so then this less beit adam lemakom, nothing goes and changes. It's one of the concepts in general of of Klal Yisrael, and how, as I say, there's no, you can't separate. People make a mistake. And how we treat other people, and how it's two, you know, it's two separate things. It's not two separate things. It's Hainu Hach, the two go together. Anyway, and that's, you know, an important thing to realize. Anyway, that's the mitzvah of being Malave people, right? That's the power of it. And that's what the Gemara says, again, to this Egla Rufa, that, you know, had you been able to, this person gets killed. So he said, you know, had you joined together with him, right? How, you know, walked with him, Dal and Amos, when he left your house, right? Who's, you know, who's to say that would have happened to him? Right? How could you have done it? You need a kapara. So they have this whole mindset. So that's the idea anyway.
Wow.